but we also want to be a force that's caught up in the mission of God's kingdom, seeing what this world looks like when God's in charge, and specifically what the church looks like when God's in charge, right? And so that really is an all hands on deck kind of a thing. It's not a few of us. You know, pastors are not the professional Christians who do this stuff. It's like, we are all in this thing. And so I just want to encourage you to consider, like, either in connecting in what's happening with Urban Hope downstairs or out on the streets, or in the practical things of what it is to serve the church as we gather, and that would involve sound and sort of display tech and all that. Like, there's just so many opportunities to, we want to be a community where people can come who are not necessarily familiar with who Jesus is or not familiar with the church, and to be received well, and to be able to discover something about who God is as they hang out with us. And that requires things like people showing up a little bit early so that we can greet people well, you know, and say hello and make sure that we're interacting well. And we do that in an organic way, and that's great, but there is something about being deliberate about some of that stuff. So I just want to kind of throw open the door fairly wide. This is the start of a conversation that you're going to hear more about, but just if you're at all feeling like you want to connect on a deeper level, get involved, serve, talk to Bruce, just exactly what Bruce was talking about in Alpha and connecting here, these are things that are really important. Just in our growth as Christians, we're actually called to be immersed and involved in some way. Attending is great, and you're welcome to come and to sit in the back for as long as you want to. That's fine. But there is an invitation to sort of come in and to serve and dig in. And so I just want to sort of make sure we're hearing that. And if you have something, a passion, a desire that's burning in you, you love working with youth, let us know about that stuff. Let us know what you want to do, what you love to do, because it just, when we start pulling together, not that we don't, but we can more, and when that happens, it's amazing the power that comes in us being unified in service. So that was just a freebie, not in the bulletin, yeah. Anyway, so read your bulletins, and this one more thing, this blue thing here is fairly self-explanatory, but again, community is really helpful if we can find one another. And so we have a bulletin. If you've been coming in the last year or two, or you're not sure if you're in the bulletin or you've moved or whatever, fill one of these things out. It's just a time for us to update our information. We can get that in there so that we can, you know, be in each other's lives a little bit. And yeah. Yes. I think it's probably, well, I'm gonna look at the thing that Kim said, and which is that everybody should fill it out. I mean, the reality is that if we know that somebody's forgotten, we're not gonna like kick them out of the directory, right? but it probably wouldn't hurt to fill it out. Is a good point. So thanks, Helen. And one more thing with regards to giving, if you've come with something to give, tithe and offering, we have a box at the back as you leave, or even through a worship, you can go and just deposit that there. And so let me just pray, and I'm going to invite Christine up. Lord, again, thank you for your purposes for tonight. And Lord, your purposes that you're building in us as a community. Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear the words that your Spirit is speaking to us. Lord, we do ask that you would move through Christine, and that we would hear your voice in what she says. But Lord, at the end of the day, would you just pound on our, make our hearts pound tonight with your truth. And yeah, we love you. We pray your blessing on Christine, because we love her too. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Come on. I've never seen her cry.
Oh, I cry.
Do you? I don't know if I've ever seen it. I only know tough Christine.
Oh. Well, if you do today, I might cry. Yeah. All right. We're going to show a video right away. This is, I don't know, some of you might have seen it, because I've encouraged some of you to see it. It's from the Dream Center in LA. And this is we watched it, I don't know, it was about a half a year ago. We pulled it up. A friend of mine said that she says, you got to check out the Dream Center. I just finished reading a book and what they do, right? And so, anyhow, at first I got Trish LaCursier pulled up. She called me back. She goes, you got to watch this. It's unbelievable, right? And then we pulled it up and watched it together. So this is our ultimate vision, okay? This is what we're reaching for, and they're walking it out. And so I just wanted to share it with you guys, and then I'll enter into the talk.
Rescue the kid that their parents have given up on them. We rescue the home.
Powerful. Yeah, did you, they see a need. Do you hear that? They see a need, right? And they press in and watch it get met, right? Phenomenal. That, actually, we're planning a trip down there. Actually, Christian Mosaic called me this week. She goes, I've been checking the prices. It's only $400. Are you ready to go? And she's a D person. I honestly, we're going to end up going. So I'm very excited to go down there, just to let you know. Oh, now everybody else. Isabel's dying up. I want to go too. So, I mean, vision's high. Sky's the limit with God, right? And powerful, powerful. We get what we focus on, right? And this is what we're focusing on. I mean, that is more than, this is the body of Christ coming together. We'll be joining with the wider body, but you know what I mean? Or however it looks, whatever, it's God, right? We don't ask God to join what we're doing. We join what he's doing, right? And so as I was waiting on the Lord and looking up scriptures on the poor, I felt the Lord, I thought, okay, I'm going to soak in Heidi, some of Heidi Baker. Some of you guys know Heidi Baker, and she works in Mozambique. And so I listened to one of her testimonies, right? I love Heidi. Those that know Heidi, I've been blessed. She prayed for me about 2 years ago. I was a wreck, terrible crying. She called people to come up on stage that wanted to walk in the call that God had in their life to suffer for the broken. And I went up there, and I had God's love on me so strong. I was a mess. I was a basket case. And she laid hands on me and imparted. I think it took me 2 hours to get off the stage. Oh, so anyhow, I'm listening to Heidi, okay? And there's this girl. She does this testimony. She's 15 years old, and she struggles with this disease called ME. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. And she was laying in bed. She was struggling with this, and where it affects your nerves, like you can hardly even comb your hair or do anything, right? And you know what that is? So she's going, God, you know, can you just heal me? And she's feeling so lonely, right? And then someone told her that Heidi Baker, she didn't know who Heidi Baker was coming to do a conference, right? And she would lay in bed crying out to God. And the Lord said to her, and this is what's so powerful. He says, I'm going to heal you. But not because I want you to be healed. Not because of anything. Well, he wants you to be healed. But not because of anything you have done. Or for a testimony. Right? Or for your great future. But I'm going to heal you because I love you. This is what God says to her. So she makes it a Heidi Baker a conference, and she's going through a fire tunnel. And Heidi doesn't know her, but she grabs her out of the fire tunnel and hugs her really, really tight. And she says, I felt such an intensity of love come through me. I felt like I was in heaven. And all I felt was this love, love that I've never felt before. And it just consumed me. And then Heidi looked at her and says, you're healed. And that moment on, she was healed. And that's why I said, you know what? We are to press into the healings. Don't get me wrong, right? And press into the miracles. But that's that. You know, one of the songs that Missy sings, she goes, if I ever walk on water, if I don't, doesn't matter. If I ever see the miracles, it doesn't matter. If I ever hear his loud voice, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I can see you, God, that I can be known by you, God, that I just want to love you more. That is the foundation, right? What did Jesus do every time before he did a miracle? What does it say? He had compassion, right? It was the compassion that compelled him, and that is the ultimate. That is the ultimate. So the Lord said to me, before you start talking about the scriptures on the poor, remember, that's the second commandment. You have to talk about the first commandment. Right? What's the first commandment? Anybody know? I take a drink of water. You get pasty up here. What? Say a little louder. With all your heart, with all your strength. I'm getting hot. How long do I got? Like, it was 10 minutes left. Anyhow, so you know what? I have a ton of scriptures, okay? In John 4:7, it says, God is love, right? God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Right? This is our ultimate call. This is the call on our lives. This is it. There's nothing higher or greater than this. Nothing. Right? And my friends always hear me say, if you're abiding in God's love, like if you're encountering his love, you don't have to try to do all this stuff. It's like standing in the rain. You don't try to get wet. You automatically do. This stuff will flow naturally, right? It'll come out of the overflow of loving God, right? But how do we love God, right? So it says God is love, but he also says that it is in John 15:9 and John 17:23. It says, as the Father loves me, Jesus, okay, I also have loved you, okay? So the same way that the Father loves Jesus, that intense love, can't fathom it, okay? He loves us. And then he says again, that the world may know that you, Father, have loved them as you have loved me. So right there it says, now the Father loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. So that intense love, they haven't held back on anything. The Godhead love loves us the same way they love each other, right? You can't get better than that. Like, God is a wholehearted love. He doesn't love 99%. Do you know what I mean? Because that's not God, right? He's full-hearted love, right? And that's why he calls us to love him full-hearted. Why? We're made in his image. That's why he gives us love the Lord with all of your heart. That is a huge teaching. Mike Bickle has 12 hours of teaching what it means to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Right? What does that consist of? Right? And love, in its definition, if it's truly love, it demands to be expressed. Love, if it's truly love, has to multiply. It has to, or it's not truly love. So you have the Godhead who completely loves each other, but because they're a family and they're love, they had to multiply and give their love to us and not held back a single bit. Get it? They gave us all of them, right? So as we focus, the scripture says, in 1 John 3:1, behold, focus on what manner of love, the quality the Father has bestowed on us. And you probably heard us all say this before, but what you focus on is what you become, right? It becomes, you focus on that, your eye gates, your ear gates, simple. It's like a, what do you call it, chameleon, right? He changes colors, whatever he's on. But if we focus, we become that, right? He says, focus on this manner of love. I've given you my all. I have not held back a single thing for you, right? So when we focus, like David, what was David? He was a man after God's heart. He studied God's emotions. We should study his emotions. We should study, right, the depth and passion of our God. Because if we focus on that, we're going to be completely full. And we can't help but then do the second commandment, which I'm going to get to, right? So this is the call on our lives. Don't worry, am I called to do this? Am I called to do that? No, this is the call on your life. He says that in the first commandment. This is the highest priority, right? This is the greatest commandment. You can't get any better than this. This is it, right? So in chapter John 17, It says that the love in which you have loved me, I put in them. And he also says in Romans 15, those that like scripture, I wanted to get it down, but I didn't get there. Romans 5:15, I love scripture. 5:15, God's very own love is imparted to his people by the Holy Spirit. Okay? It is fully imparted. It's not a mind thing. I'm not teaching. I can't impart something from my mind. But what I've encountered, I get to impart. Right? What we encounter, we get to impart. Right? It's not a knowledge. It's deeper. Right? And then out of that comes the flow into the second commandment. But what does it say for the second commandment? It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the amount you love yourself is how you're going to love your neighbor. Sometimes we don't really love ourselves, right? So this is how it flows. You gaze at the God who loves you, who is all love, 100% love, full-hearted love. As you gaze upon him and how much he loves you, you then ignites love back to him, right? It's called the fire fellowship, really, of the heart, right? And then you get to see the worthiness that he has done for you, and you get to love yourself in him, right? We are to love ourselves in God's love and for love and God's sake. We are to love ourselves through the lens of our great worth in him. See the difference, right? May the Lamb receive the reward of his sufferings. We are the reward of his sufferings. That's why he came down here. It was for us. We are his reward. That's deep. That is so deep. We really have nothing to complain about, really. You know, it is so deep. It says that he wants us to enjoy being loved by him. We magnify Jesus as we love ourselves because we agree with his love for us in him. We are honoring his investment in our lives. We magnify him because it is best that when we magnify him in the way he loves, we are in agreement with him. We know the enemy throws lies. You're worthless. You're junk. Oh, there's no sense going on, right? The enemy's not worth looking at. You know that. We turn to look at him, it wastes so much time when I could be gazing at the one who loves me. Right? Because then Jesus reaches out. And what does he say? I want you. You're the one I want. You're the one I died for. Right? I gave my fullness for you. And I like what Bill Johnson always says. He said, we cannot afford to think thoughts God does not think about us. We cannot afford it. We get some crazy thoughts in our heads. You know, you're always going to have crazy thoughts coming through. But don't think them. Just allow it to pass right through. Because as soon as you decide to think it, you start to own it. Don't think it. Right? Only choose to think the thoughts that God has for you. Seeing our worth in Jesus, it empowers us to know ourselves. And then we can now love others by the overflow. See the difference? It's the overflow that we love others. John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. To abide in love is to continually live in it. We are to live in it. The intense love God has for us is expressed in our love, yes, to others. Our love for others is the measure of our love for Jesus. If we're having a hard time loving others, just say, Lord, help me love that person. Help me love. No, Lord, help me fall more in love with you. Help me gaze on you. Help me encounter your love. Because I tell you, when I'm finished having an intimate time with the Lord, I want to love everything around me. I want to love the doorpost. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm so filled up. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? So that's your focus point. And it's all on him. He did everything. We just got to cry out, Lord, fill me up. As it says in John, it says when he left, Jesus said, he said, Father, put a love in them, the same love you love me. So I pray that prayer a lot. I say, love, Father, put that love in me the way you love Jesus. I love you back. Put it in me today so strong that I please you in everything I do today. Not because it's because I love him. I love him. And when I feel a little dry, then I got to go back and focus there. Right? I should always keep my focus there. But you know what I'm saying? That is our ultimate call, is to love him wholeheartedly because he's a wholehearted God. Right? So, there is God fashioned the human heart. He created the human heart with a deep desire to know and be known. He created us with the desires for intimacy with him. And we all know intimacy, maybe don't know, means intimacy, you see, right? With him and for others. The commandment comes together. It goes vertical, then horizontal, right? Because we are all belonging to be in a family. We all are. It's a craving inside of us. I see it all the time out on the streets. You know, they don't have a family. And that's what breaks a heart. And we are God in skin. We are God in skin. We are to have compassion for them. Right? It says that, in knowing God, we are called, this is part of my mission statement for Urban Hope. In knowing God, we are called to embody his compassionate heart towards the lost, the poor, the oppressed, and the outcast, and the fatherless. And everybody, right? Compassion is a hallmark of the one Jesus who was moved with compassion in the face of human needs. Really, if you look at Jesus' life, he didn't really hang out in the temple that much to try to convert the Jews. Who do you hang out with? The prostitutes, the thieves, the marginalized, those guys that were just, you know, really didn't have it all together. Right? He hung out with them the most. Right? And he had compassion. And as we learn, compassion literally means to suffer with. That's what it means. And suffering, it makes me think, I know as intercessors we talk about going to the weeping room, right? But it's in the weeping room where you feel, God lets you feel his heart on a situation and you're weeping that you don't get the strategy until you go to the weeping room. You know, I remember reading books. This one book I read, it was for their tears he died. I think you're borrowing that book from me. Anyhow, powerful book. I won't go too much into it, but it's basically those that are caught in slavery and sex trafficking, and it's their stories, right? And I remember the first time I picked up the book and I was reading this girl's story, real true story. I wept so hard, I physically couldn't handle it anymore. I said, God, I can't even get through this story. And like everything within me ached, right? And he says, okay, I want you to finish it, but you're going to have, you know, he let me have grace. I could finish the next night. Literally my eyes hurt, everything, right? And so I finished the next night, and, you know, wonderful thing. This girl got, someone came in and got her out of the trade, right? But there was other stories in there that so impacted me. One story, I'm going to quote it because there's kids here, but it was one of Heidi's Baker's groups where they had the children in, orphanage or whatever they call it, right? And they brought the kids in. These kids were all from the guerrilla, like they were caught by the guerrillas, the KIM. Right? And all of a sudden they had a story, true story, that the KIM, it's like a guerrilla group, there was coming again, right? And these little kids who were saved from these guys, because you know what they do, right? They put these kids in slavery, what they make these kids do, right? And they got, so Heidi Baker's group got them out of this, the horror stories in their life, right? So they hear that this guerrilla group is coming to them again, right? And so they stay up all night to pray, and what happens, it passes them and goes into the city, right? But unfortunately, they ravished this house nearby, and this little girl was the only thing that was left. And I can't go into details, but it was horrifying, absolutely horrifying. So this little girl is in major trauma, beaten up, right? Her parents are now gone because of the gorillas, right? And what took place. So they're holding this little girl, and they're loving on her because they know she's going to die. And they're loving on her. She's so traumatized. She's not saying nothing, right? And then the lady that's running the orphanage goes out to town to find a medical help. And as she comes back, the little girl's up. And she's functioning. She's smiling because they just spent 2 days loving on her and speaking life to her and holding her, right? And then they hear that this gorilla group is coming back again. But no one felt fear. You got to hear this. This blew me away. This gorilla group that ravished their lives, took their families away, sold them in sex trade, and they got them out, this orphanage. This gorilla group's coming, and guess what these kids do? True story. They get God's passion for them, and they start crying for them. They encounter God, this gorilla group, and they encounter that they will turn themselves in so that then they can get healing and go back to their own families. They're weeping for them. And I sat there, and I went, wow. I was blown away because while I'm reading the beginning part of the story, I'm kind of like, God, why do you let this evil take place? And I'm weeping and I'm weeping. And then I got the revelation. These guys were so in love with Jesus that they so forgive their offenders that took literally everything from them. Abuse to the T that we can't even fathom. And they're loving them with the love of God. Isn't that amazing? And that's what, I mean, that's God's love. It's supernatural. And that can only come by encountering God. We're limited if we live in the second commandment. We got to move in the first commandment. And as we choose to see that our source comes from Him and that He loves us so much, so much, and that we need to be students of His passion for us. Every time we see the word God in Bible, we should say love. I believe every wrath that takes place is because it opposes God's love. I believe everything He does is love. It really is. Right? And He's crazy about it. He doesn't give this to the angels. It's us, because we're made in His image. Right? So as we look at this, Jesus spent all His time, right, and loving us, and then with compassion. I have a scripture here. For He will deliver the needy, Jesus, when they cry for help. This is Psalm 72:12. The afflicted also, and him who has no helper, he will have compassion on the poor and the needy. In the life of the needy, he will save. He will rescue their lives from the oppressor and the violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. All right, I'm going to read some scriptures on the poor. Deuteronomy 15:11, God commands us, for the poor will never cease to be in the land. There I command you, saying, you shall freely open, he's telling us, I command you by saying, you shall freely open your hands to your brother in need and the poor in your land. He commands us, okay? Job says, I was a father to the poor and the needy. In Proverbs 14:21, Proverbs 22:9, it says, happy is he who is gracious to the poor. We're happy as we are gracious to the poor. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. We will be blessed. We will be happy. That'll be the outward manifestations if we give to the poor. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. This is Proverbs 28:27. But he who closes his eyes to them will receive many curses. And that's a teaching itself, so we'll just keep going. Isaiah 58:10. And if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. powerful. We are called to be the light in this earth, are we not? We're called to be the salt in this earth. I believe we're called to go to the dark areas, I know I am, and be the light. Because I believe in the darkest areas, that's what's holding strongholds in the cities. And when I go there with the love of God, and these guys encounter the love of God, it's going to pull down those strongholds, and the city's going to come and know Jesus even stronger and stronger, because it's the love that's going to come to those dark areas. That's another teaching the Lord showed me. Anyhow, Proverbs 14:31, Proverbs 17:5. He who oppresses the poor reproaches, mocks, and insults his maker. That's pretty heavy, eh? But he who is kind and merciful to the needy, God will honor him. He who mocks, and then the other one says, he who mocks the poor taunts his maker, and he who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. Heavy, eh? Proverbs 19:17. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will pay him for his good deeds. Proverbs 21:13. He who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. Matthew 25, which we know this one, 37:40, but then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see the hungry and feed them? Or the thirsty and gave them something to drink? When did we see the stranger invite them in and the needy enclose them? And the king replied, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did him to me. We know that scripture, but isn't that powerful? We clothe Jesus. We give him something to drink. In Galatians 2, and we know this, when the only assignment that Paul was given was when he went church planting, is all they asked was that he would continue to remember the poor. And he said, I was eager to do that. Jeremiah 29:22-16, defend the cause of the poor and needy. And so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me? That not what it means to know me is when you defend the cause of the needy and the poor. And that's what we long for, is to be known by God. Right? They flow together. I'm going to end here. But it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I love the love chapter. I've stayed there for a long time. So I prayed it into my life. I prayed it into the church. I prayed it into everything you can think of. Right? I love the love chapter. But the first part of love, it says, love suffers long. Okay, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And suffering long, what does that mean? It's meaning when a person deserves a judgment, a harsh judgment, and you don't give it. Right? You're suffering long. You're passive. There's nothing you do. It's what you're not doing. You're not venting out on them. You're not paying them back. You're not giving them what they deserve. In the negative sense, it's suffering long. And then there's an active one of love is kind. It's giving people what they don't deserve. So when you suffer long, you hold back what they deserve, and then you give them a treatment of kindness, and you give them what they don't deserve. Doesn't that sound like that's what God did to us? Right? You know what? I heard this statement, and I totally believe it. You only have authority where you love. And as soon as you start judging, you've lost that authority. There's a heart check, eh? So, to pull it back, our main call on our lives, you can't get any greater than this. This is it. Is to gaze upon the Godhead and the mighty love they have for each other, and then how that love is sent down unto us in fullness. He loves us wholeheartedly, and he calls us to love him back wholeheartedly. We were created to do that. I mean, I only studied the mind a little bit, but even our brain is created to be in constant communication with him. We don't live the fullness God has for us if we don't love him wholeheartedly. That's what we are created for. And out of the overflow, out of that overflow, we still will find Jesus. We still will find God when we love others around us and we choose to suffer with them. There's nothing more exhilarating than loving and being loved. Nothing. That is our inheritance. That's the way God created us, because we are created in his image. So, to end tonight, I probably talked too long, I'm sorry. If we can have a moment before we enter into worship, if that's okay, and just silence ourselves for a moment. Shoo. I wanted to say, God, would you, inside of yourself, say, God, would you reveal to me how much you love me? And what is your favorite thing about me? You guys can keep that with you and God. But I want to encourage you. Know what sets you free, but worrying what other people think about you, you ask God what thinks about you in every situation. Shut down the traffic in the brain. God, what are you thinking about me? What are you saying about me right now? Okay? Because he always has wonderful things he's saying. And I pray over you guys as Misty Song says, I just want to know you, God. Just hearing those words that you love me satisfies me. I could not even try to leave. Oh, just let me have more of you. That's all I desire. Let me love you more is my deepest heart's desire. Oh, Lord, just more, just more, just more. I just want you. I just want to love you more. And I pray that, because I pray that into every one of us, because Jesus prayed it before he left the earth. Put a love in them, Father, the same love that you love me. And out of that overflow, may we suffer. May we ache for those less fortunate in us. And let us be the skin of God, because we are made in his image. Made in his image. And go out and love those. And like that video, nothing's impossible. Sky's the limit with God. Let's see a need and cry out to God and hear what he's saying and jump into it. Amen.
The way that we... One of the reasons why we like to, on Friday nights, have our talk and then move into a time of worship is because it gives us an opportunity to really linger in the thing that God has been speaking as we're worshiping together. I think that there's something that's just very significant for us. Liv and I spent years in a church. The mantra was, let worship and justice kiss. Mercy and justice kiss. It's actually worship and justice, but it's okay. No, that was the motto of the church. And the running joke, it was really sad. Sometimes was, in reality, we weren't sure if worship and justice were talking. Because there was this community that loved Jesus, loved to worship, and then there was the community that loved to serve. And what I love about what what you sort of reminded us of tonight is that it's when we allow our love, a relationship with Christ, to empower that walking out of the second commandment. That's a wonderful thing for us tonight. As we're in the habit of doing for Fridays, I just want to center us again around this image, and we want to be almost relentlessly boring about this. We want to be so consistent in reminding ourselves that we are not called to gather around a mission or a stage or into a building, but that Jesus called his friends to himself and invited them to have a meal. That there was a place of communion, a place of relationship. And it's where Jesus invited ultimately his closest friends into his deepest sufferings and into his deepest joys. It's the invitation into love. And really, in so many ways, an invitation into the second commandment as well. And so we are going to open the table as we worship tonight. And feel free to come, and we have wine on the left and juice on the right. I'm just going to read a portion here from Matthew. And it's okay for us to repeat these scriptures week in and week out, because it is important that they become part of our living and breathing and our language. So Jesus, while he was eating with his friends, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And after taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so, Lord, we want tonight to ingest you. You have called us to reflect you, but you have also called us to be nourished by your very stuff. And so we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, come and invite us to your table. And I love that the disciples, that Jesus' friends, would have remembered all of the stories that he told about going out and finding those who were least worthy to come to the party and invite them. That would have been central, that would have been right in their minds.